Good morning. Would you stand as we begin our worship?
Today. We're starting into Indian summer.
That's right.
If I didn't miss here today, they say in the next couple of days we could hit 90 degrees again. But when it starts turning cool, I start looking forward to the next spring. I don't like cold weather. Are you excited about what's going to go ahead and sit down? Why don't you? I'm sorry, I never thought. You'd need to run up a flag or something and say, "Hey, Pastor Don, wake up." The announcements are in your bulletin. I hope every one of you have a bulletin and that you're looking at it. Some of the unusual things that will be taking place this week is the senior adult luncheon on Thursday. We're going to meet here at the church at 11:30, so if you want to be a part of that, meet with us and we'll go from here. Men's breakfast next Saturday morning, and there's a sign up in the welcome. No? Four Saturdays.
Fourth Saturday.
Fourth Saturday of the month.
Oh, okay. Well, the bulletin's wrong then. Don't pay attention to it. So, anyway, there is a sign-up sheet out there for the men's prayer breakfast. Is the Ronald McDonald thing on for this week? Or is that in the fourth week, too?
It's for this week, I think.
Okay, it's for this week. If you have things that you were going to bring for the Ronald McDonald House, why, please make sure you get those in next Sunday. The dog celebration after the morning worship. Any other special announcements we need to make?
Choir practice
Wednesday night. Okay? That's this week?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to make another mistake. Not two right in a row, anyway. Okay, let's stand up again and everybody shake hands with as many people as you can during this greeting time.
It's kind of weird to be thinking about Christmas already, although you go outside and you see, or you go into Walmart, and I can't believe they've already got Christmas trees up. So we have from Nazarene Compassionate Ministries a letter asking us to send greetings to our sponsored children. And usually I kind of do this in my Sunday school class, but I thought it would be really fun for our sponsored kids to maybe possibly get a note from some of the people in the congregation, and also a picture. So if you would like to do that, I would like to have those in the next week if possible. We got the letter the last day of September, and they said to send it in September. So, but it doesn't matter when they get it. It just is, I think the greetings will be good. So if you can do that, and I need it to be able to fit it in a 6x9 envelope, and also... If you want to get a card for them or something, get one that is on the lighter side so it's not a real heavy card that needs to be sent. And Sue has put in the bulletin for us right down here their names, and you need to. And we also have two sponsored children, so if you want to just choose to do one, that's fine. But there are two of them, and their names are at in the bottom of the bulletin there. And there's a number beside that, and the number also has to be somewhere on the card so they know where to send it. But I think that they would really appreciate getting some notes from everybody. And if you can include a picture, that would be really great, too. Oh. And there's going to be a short meeting after the service, NMI meeting after the service.
The small groups are supposed to meet this evening, and we will be having a service here at 6 o'clock this evening. So any of you that want to come will certainly be welcome in the service this evening. Yes? Okay. Okay. Their small group is coming to church. So, all right. Thank you for that. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time. We'll receive our weekly tithes and offerings.
Father, we feel blessed this morning. Feel blessed as a church and individually how you have touched our lives. And we just pray, Lord, this morning as we think on these things, how you have been so good to us, that we might willingly share back a portion of what you have so touched and blessed us with. We ask this morning that these gifts we give to you might go to further thy kingdom and touch people's lives for Christ. And these things we pray. Amen.
Amen. All of us are blessed when prayers are answered, aren't we? You get excited when God answers your prayers. Bonnie had an answer to her prayers this week about selling her house. She sold it on Monday after having an open house. And we celebrate that with her, but we also celebrate the fact that she's moving to Nixon and going to be here with us very shortly. So we're thankful for that. Good to have Tamara in our services today. She's kind of a special young lady that we like to have around, and I know her folks like to have her around. And good to have Mike back with us. He had an accident with a pair of scissors and had a lacerated foot, and he's back with us. And Hazel's back with us. And how many others have had answers to prayer? Several of you have. We're glad for you. And you probably still have some prayers that you're praying that God would answer for you. How many have those kind of things? Hey, a great group. Next week, I hope you can all raise your hand and say, God has answered my prayer. And I'm busy looking for more answers to prayers as God speaks to us. Pray for our pastor as he is away on vacation, he and his wife. And I want to personally thank you for allowing me to be a part of a golf fellowship this week. You know what I say, those guys only allow me on the golf course when they want somebody to laugh at. I didn't catch every one of them laughing, but I saw several snickers during this golf outing. Oh, we really appreciate you showing your appreciation to us. And Ruth got to go to a luncheon this week, too, and we're thankful for that. Well, if you have a special prayer request that you'd like to make known to the Lord as this hymn is being sung, you're certainly welcome to come around the altar. Pastor Gary always says nobody will bother you if you come to the altar during this prayer time. Well, there won't be any personal visitation for you at the altar, but we pray that the Holy Spirit would come and meet you here to whisper in your ear, I hear your prayer, my child, and the answer's on the way. God bless you.
Oh, Lord, would you come close? Everything else can wait. I am here for you alone. This is the time and place. Don't be far from me. I'm here waiting. So here I am with lifted hands. I'm crying out to you again. Don't be far from me. I'm here waiting on you.
Father, as we come together in prayer this morning, we want to lift our eyes heavenward. This chorus has just declared that we're here waiting on you. Help us to wait patiently as we make our needs known. And Father, we believe that the Son is at the right hand of the Father today, carrying all our prayer needs to you. Lord, we praise you for victory today and the answers to prayers that have been received during this last week, and the ones that have gone before. And Father, down through the years, you've answered so many prayers for this preacher and his family, and we want to just give you praise for that today. Lord, you've made the greatest difference in our world that has ever been known. You've changed lives. You've brought people to the throne of God where they're able to present their needs to you. We pray this week for all of those special needs, those physical needs that everyone is aware of in this group. And some may be here in this service today that have physical needs, Lord, that you're prepared to meet. You have the answers to prayer. Lord, again, we praise you for that. There are other special things, Lord, we need to pray for. We pray for the souls that surround this church. There are many we feel like that are there that are lost and undone. And Father, you've called us and you've called this church to reach them for you. Help us to put our efforts together. Not that we can save them, but Lord, with the promise that you can save them, that you can restore, and that you can lift up. Father, we pray today for the wedding that's going to take place this afternoon for Stevie and Tiffany and all of their families, Lord. Just be with them in a special way. May this be a great day of your poured out blessing on the rest of their lives. Father, right now as we come before you, we come with thanksgiving. We come with praise. Lord, we earnestly covet your presence in this service today. Be with us. Bring to us on the wings of the heavenly dove your message, your heart, your cry for what we need for this hour. This is our time, set aside on this Lord's Day morning to worship you and praise you and be involved. Come now and be close in this time of service. In your name we pray. Amen. Miss our pastor when he's not here, don't we? But we're glad that you're here this morning. There's a passage of Scripture in Philippians, the second chapter, beginning with the 9th verse, that reads like this. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is in God who work for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Let's pray together over the scripture. Father, we ask your blessing on this scripture today. In Jesus' name, amen. Down through the years, we have all come to depend upon Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. If I would have a desire, and if you shared with me exactly your spiritual condition today, I would tell you from the very depths of my heart, you can depend on God to meet your needs. You can depend on Him for salvation. But now here in this passage of Scripture, it almost seems like that Paul is saying you have to work out your own salvation. Thank God that isn't true. But he says continue to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. That to me says that once we come to Jesus Christ and we give him our hearts and our lives, there is a continuing pathway to walk with God down through life. It's been almost longer than I can remember when the Lord spoke to my heart. One Sunday morning, Brother Bill McTeer, I don't know, maybe most of you never even heard of Bill McTeer, but he was a Bible preacher. At 7 years of age, I heard him preach the word of salvation. And you know, I really can't tell you what he said that day. But I can tell you that the Holy Spirit told me, Don, you need to be saved. You need to give your heart to me. You need to confess your sins and recognize that you need a Savior. And I can testify to you today, although it's been many years ago, that on that morning, that Sunday morning, Jesus changed my life. I think everyone here probably at some time or another has experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their heart and life. I was sitting with my parents and I had a grip on that pew. Probably my fingerprints, if they have that pew still in that church, my fingerprints are still on that pew because I wasn't going to go. I just was not going to go to the altar. I'd have to walk down in front of all those people. I was pretty backward then, and so walking down in front of all those people to confess my sins was a big step for me. But God, the Holy Spirit, was faithful, and in spite of the grip that I had on that pew, He led me to an altar of prayer and I gave my heart to the Lord. Now in the Baptist church, you don't make a plan to be baptized on such and such a day. They just said next Sunday we're having a baptismal out at the Sauk River. And so the next Sunday afternoon I got all wet in the Sauk River. Doing what God asks us to do is so important. It's important to you, and it's important to me to be in the center of God's will. To know what God is saying to you, and to know what God is saying about our hearts and lives. After I became a Christian, God didn't wait for me to be passive about walking with Him. He didn't say, now you can take this or you can leave this or whatever. Some of you is going to say, well, you didn't walk perfectly from that time on. That's true, I didn't. But God, the Holy Spirit, was faithful. God is not a passive God. God is a positive God. And He works in your hearts and in your lives and in my heart and my life for us to do positive things in His great kingdom. The kingdom of God is not just a little group of people that meets in Nixa Church of the Nazarene every Sunday. The kingdom of God is larger, more powerful, more overcoming than anything that I can put my hand on today. It's worldwide. There's persecution taking place in many places today. If any of you get the information, the letters or the emails from the Voice of Martyrs, you know that as I'm speaking to you today, there are people dying for Jesus and for the sake of the gospel. You know that there are people being imprisoned as I speak to you today for the cause of Christ. You know that there are many people languishing in prisons and that are being tortured for Jesus Christ. But the call today in this passage of Scripture is to those of us that are right here, you that are under the sound of my voice. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling in this 12th verse. And folks, we need to continue with a purpose to walk with God. It's not going to just happen automatically. He says, continue to work it out. The responsibility that you and I have and that I had as a lad of 7 years old was to continue to go on with the Lord. And I don't care how old you are here today or how young you may be. That's the call to every Christian in this building, is to go on with the Lord and to do His will and continue. The responsibility is to continue and to develop what God has given you. If you take the plan of salvation and you say, okay, I have it now. And I used to believe that once you were saved, everything just went perfect in your life. Well, it don't happen that way. You see, for there's other activity in our world, and Satan is busy trying to defeat you and make you feel like it's not worth it to go with God. The Scripture tells us He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom He may devour. I've got a video at home that showed a big game hunter, and this lion was standing off about 150 yards away, and the professional hunter said, shoot him. And that guy brought the rifle up and pulled the trigger, and he hit the lion. And he didn't just fall down. It made him really mad. And they started to walk into the bush where that lion was. And guess what happened? That lion covered that 150 yards in about 2 seconds and leaped through the air at the guy that had shot him. The professional hunter that was there with him, they shot about, well, I don't know how many times they shot, but you could see dust flying up around that lion as he was running. And just as he leapt into the air, one of the professional hunters shot him and knocked him down. just as he hit the guy that had shot him in the first place. Then the lion jumped up and started to run off, and these guys were still shooting him. I don't know how they kept from hitting each other. But you know, Satan is like that. When Satan is attacked by the Church of Jesus Christ, it makes him very, very angry. And he does everything that he can to stop the Church of Jesus Christ from going on. I'm here today to tell you to practice this crucial truth in your lives and in the life of our church, to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Satan is there, but it's so crucial that we practice the truth of God in our hearts and lives. My prayer that every one of you are in the habit of spending some time in meditation and prayer and scripture reading in your home with your family, if you have a family. Little boys and girls need to know the truth of God. Grown-ups need to know the truth of God, and it needs to be a part of our life and our living. And the practice of speaking with the Lord, the practice of praying and talking with Him, is a practice that there's no other substitute for. You can't do anything any more important in your family than to read the Word of God and put it into practice in your home and in your life. I get excited when I talk about practicing the omnipotent power of God in my heart and life. I'm not omnipotent, but the one that we call our God is omnipotent, and He can do whatever's necessary to take care of us as we continue to work in our relationship with Him. Wait on the Lord. Practice His presence. Be sure of what's taking place. Hear what He's saying. God, the Holy Spirit, is sent from heaven above, the voice of God to speak to our hearts and to our lives. Folks, the most important relationship that you will have in your lifetime is with your Creator, your Savior, and your Lord. It's really important. In fact, you're going to have quite a struggle unless you practice being in touch with Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. There's individual responsibilities in this continuing relationship with God. It's not all one-sided. As I said a while ago, I thought that when I was saved, everything was just going to go perfect from that moment on. But you see, it takes effort on our part. God will do His part. He's guaranteed that. God will do His part. God will give you the encouragement that you need. God knows your needs better than anybody else is. You ever told a friend what some of your needs were? I worked in manufacturing for several years as a working pastor to support Ruth and my children, and I shared with a guy one day one of my needs that I thought was pretty important to him. He was my supervisor immediately over me, and the next time that it came time for me to get a raise, he started talking about this thing that I'd shared with him in confidence. This is my weakness. Well, I'm going to tell you, folks, God don't go around talking about your weaknesses and my weaknesses. He just helps you work through, helps you to be what you should be, gives you encouragement as you walk down the pathway of life. There's an individual responsibility and an assignment that God gives every one of us. But rest assured that God knows our needs. If I would ask this morning how many have ever failed God, I'd have to be the first one to hold up my hand. But you know what? God doesn't condemn me when I have a need. God lifts me up like I'm His precious child. He says, let me help you. Let me give you direction. Let me do what I can. I can't tell you what your spiritual exercise should be. I can't tell you how many passages of Scripture you need to read. That's between you and the Lord. But I can tell you with confidence that He will meet all your needs according to His riches in glory. You don't have any need that God can't help you with. Now, does He always give us our way? Nope. You know the quickest way to spoil a child? I think some of you are giggling and laughing. I think you've already been there and done that. Just give them exactly what they want every time they ask for it. Our oldest granddaughter learned that very quickly in life. She was my friend, but kind of at a distance. And then when we'd pull up in front of the Walmart store, she became my bosom buddy. She had a hold of my index finger as we headed toward Walmart's door. And she already had picked out which aisles to go on. And what to pick out. Grandma says I spoiled her. But I didn't really. But if God gave us everything we ask for, we'd be like spoiled children. We'd want to get a hold of God's finger every day when we headed toward Walmart. Well, maybe God wouldn't visit Walmart. I'm not sure about that. But in His heavenly kingdom, God takes care of our needs. And so we need to practice our salvation, to go where God sends, and to practice what God tells us to practice to be on the winning team. You ever played with a losing team? I have. None of you have? We were playing softball in the league at Chanute, Kansas, and there was one team that nobody had beaten. And one night we muscled up and scored a bunch of runs, and they were down, and we got down to the seventh inning in fast-pitch softball, and we were whooping them. We weren't whipping them, we were whooping them. Bad. And it got so bad that they got an old man that looked as old as I am now to come up as a pinch hitter. I was playing second base. That old man hit that ball right at me. Except he didn't hit it hard enough to hardly get to me. And I ran in to grab it and I fumbled it. We were 6 or 7 runs ahead. Last inning. The next guy hit a pop fly to our right fielder, and you know what they put in right field usually. The guy that gets out there, Well, you guessed it. You know what happened. It went over his head. Before that inning was over, they scored those 7 runs and tied us. In the 8th inning, they scored a run and beat us. I don't like that. I don't like that when I'm on the losing side. But I can guarantee you today that if you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and you practice continuing to live in your salvation and work things out according to His plan, you'll never end up a loser. There may be some struggles. There may be some battles. But if you allow God to work in your life, He will give you the direction you need. I said God was omnipotent. I believe that with all of my heart. But I can tell you today that unless we are willing to allow God to work in our lives, He will not override our objection to Him working in our lives. You have to be a part of it. That's what Paul was saying in this passage of Scripture. God works on your will, but you are over the controlling part of whether you accept God's plan or not. The Holy Spirit is God working and inspiring in your heart and in your life and helping you to know what His desires are and leads you to be obedient. But you and I have to say yes to the way that God is leading. You are created as a free moral agent, and only you can say yes to God in your life. God, the Holy Spirit, is sent to give us direction and help, to act obediently, to bring our desires in line with His desires, helping us to do what He wants us to do. But you and I have to have the passion to do what God asks us to do. You ever done anything half-heartedly? Nobody has but me, huh? You didn't do anything that you just hated to do. My dad had us pick up rocks in our garden, and I want you to know we didn't raise very many good crops in that garden, but we raised rocks like you wouldn't believe. Every year we had a brand new fresh crop that was right on top of the ground, and my dad thought every one of them had to be picked up. And I would rather had a whipping than pick up rocks in that garden. In fact, I probably got some because I wouldn't pick them up. I don't remember now. But you, working in God's kingdom, have to have a passion for what God wants you to do. You have to do it deliberately. It's not just going to happen automatically. God will bless your life. God has blessed my life down through the years. But God's part is to give you direction and help and change. God has provided the Savior, the living Word of God, and He teaches us all through the Scriptures that Christ is the living Word. In Timothy, the third chapter, 2 Timothy, the third chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God has already given us all that we need to do His will and carry it out. God teaches the truth. He gives us the right way. He is lighting our pathway. We need to read and study to know His Word. God has sent His Holy Spirit to tap you on the shoulder or me on the shoulder when I need correcting. Romans, the 8th chapter, in the 11th verse. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. God, the Holy Spirit, wants to be a part of your Christian life. Let me tell you, you're not going to be successful in living for the Lord unless you obey, are willing to obey what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. He lives in you. He gives direction. And daily we are asked to surrender to him. In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 18th verse. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transferred into his likeness with ever increasing glory. Change. By God and through God, but it's our part to do some changing also. Choose what we think about. That was kind of a hard lesson for me to learn. You see, the world is doing all it can to kind of lead you down a separate pathway. And when you are tempted to think something that's not right, what I have to do is think about something in Christ and in God to take my mind away from that temptation. Oh, you're going to have temptations. Jesus had temptations. But you know what? He always turned to the thoughts of his heavenly Father. Get behind me, Satan. God has said, you will not tempt the Lord your God. Satan did everything he could to destroy the Son of God. But choose what you think and filter your thoughts through God's truth, and you will see differently. Reject the thoughts and ideas and the things that come from Satan, and deliberately choose to think about the good things of God. Satan don't have a chance when you do that. Do you know what? If you think about the things of God, Satan can't break through that. If your heart and life are set on those things, choose and depend on God, the Holy Spirit. Be aggressive. Turn your eyes to Jesus. He will give you victory as you walk down the road of life. John 15, 4 through 5 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face temptation. Choose our response. That's our choice. My attitudes, your attitudes. Well, I pray that my attitude will be more like Jesus. And if you'll allow me to, I'll pray that your attitudes will be more like Jesus the Savior. Some intelligent man has said, our lives consist of 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to what happens to us. And I don't have any way to measure that. But I can tell you today that we must trust God, work out our salvation with fear and trembling, turn our weakness to strength, and turn ourselves to God with certainty, which will lead to serenity as we walk down the pathway of life. Can you save yourself? No. But can you continue to walk with God after you have been saved? And the answer is the affirmative. Yes, you can. continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Paul's words to us. It's not important just today that you do that. It's important that all of us do it the rest of our lives. And Jesus will walk with us all down through, even to the very end, and usher us into the land where the sun never sets, where no tears will ever dim the eyes, and where we'll be with the Lord forever. Praise His holy name. Let's stand together. In this closing time of prayer, I'm going to ask every one of you to pray as I pray, that all of us would continue to work out our salvation. I'm going to ask Pat to lead us in a closing prayer.